Hello, hello.
What is up, buddy?
Oh, just a fun-filled week of watching the Oilers.
Oh yeah, I mean it hasn't been such a that bad of a week.
Well, I'm gonna start off this episode with a little bit of an angry rant, I think.
Okay. Well, first, before you shoot out of the cannon here,
All right.
I'd like to give everyone a quick hello and welcome to episode 12 of South of the Blue Line. Today it is a Michael and Dalton exclusive episode. Chris has some family in town or some friends in town that he is currently hanging out with. I believe at the moment he is actually on a roller coaster in Tampa, so Chris is having a good time. So that means we can talk about McDavid all we want, Dalton.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's gonna be a very McDavid prioritized episode.
We will try and not lose ourselves because we could be here all night.
Hey, you hear about that McDavid kid?
Heard he's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Not bad. All right, buddy, go.
All right,
Have your rant.
so the Panthers game.
Yes.
Okay, start off with that. I couldn't even watch the game because Sportsnet decided that their broadcast was going to clip out every 2 seconds, and so it made the entire game unwatchable, which was terrible because it apparently it turned out to be a pretty good one.
I actually saw that a lot of people had this problem on Twitter. Like, I saw that like there were videos of people's like broadcasts that were just like strobing.
Yeah, it's awful. Like at first I thought it was my recorder that was doing it, but then I also went online, and yeah, happened to pretty much everybody in Calgary that was watching on Sportsnet West.
So, okay, so here's my question: who is your provider for it?
I go through Shaw as well.
Okay. So I heard. So that's what I heard, that most people with Shaw were the people having most of the issues.
Yeah, and apparently as well, like the issue had been with it's and only that channel, mind you, was the only channel out of 500 channels that we get that was like that.
And they didn't want to just switch channels?
Apparently not. Like there is nothing on Sportsnet One or Pacific or something like that. But now they're just like, we'll just keep it on this channel that's all garbage.
So I think you're a little upset about that, buddy.
Well, I mean, at the time it was like, maybe a blessing in disguise kind of thing because I was getting a little sick of the Oilers, to be honest. But then it was an amazing game, and I did manage to catch the shootout just through my phone, which was good,
Oh
but.
boy, and what a shootout that was.
Oh, maybe we were getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves in that
Well,
part,
yeah,
though.
we'll get there. We'll get there. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll kick it off just as usual. I will also be playing the part as Chris for this podcast. So I will be giving real good insight about the Jets.
Oh, that's good, because, man, I got no clue what's going on over there at all.
All
Like,
right, so
who even
we
are the
start
Jets?
right. So we started off the week, the Jets playing Dallas at home. They come away with a solid 5-1 win. Dallas did not look very good through this game. This was definitely a game where, I mean, it was just one of those games where Hellebuck looked solid. The Jets were being the Jets, and the Stars looked kind of shaky.
Yeah. Stars looking like a wild card team while the Jets are looking like a conference contender.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure Jim Light won't be too pleased with the score there.
Yeah, no kidding. Holy.
Then we jump over to the Oilers, shut out the Ducks also on that Saturday night, which was so nice to see because I hate the Ducks.
Wasn't the Kings game first?
No, the Kings game, we talked about the Kings game, the yeah, no, the Kings game we talked about last week.
Oh, goody, because that game was awful. The
That, yeah, so what
the
if
Ducks
you'll
game though.
recall, last week was very down. It was a bit of a somber episode. We were all kind of frustrated with our respective teams and all that stuff.
Yeah, because the Oilers just yeah, this is back-to-back game for the Oilers. They came off with a 4-0 loss to the Kings, beat the Ducks 4-0, which is the first time the Oilers have ever gotten shut out and then shut out a team the next night.
Wow, look at you with the stats. I was about to say that as well.
Oh, beat you to it.
Nice game. Bronziak scored. Puljujärvi, I believe,
Oh,
scored.
a beautiful one too.
An absolute beauty. Nice right in front of the net. Nice little
Yeah.
quick miss. And beating John Gibson, that is no slouch of a goalie right there.
Yeah, and to Gibson's credit, I thought he played pretty well the entire game. Like, pretty much every Oilers goal, I was just like, well, you can't say that one.
Yep, and Talbot looked steady.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Chris Russell, I think that was his first game back.
Yes, it was. Also looked good. Nice to have someone else making saves other than Talbot.
Yeah, it's crazy how important he is to the team and how little I feel like he's important to the team.
You know your defense is bad when Chris Russell comes back and you're like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man, a legitimate defenseman that should be playing in the NHL. What a day.
And literally all he does half the game is just slide around on his hands and knees just being like, hit me.
He's awarding points to every guy who hits him. He's just like, oh, it's three times in a row there. You get the daily double, buddy.
I can only imagine, like, what the trainer, just his body looks like after the games.
God, that man. So much black and blue.
Does Chris Russell hate himself?
Maybe. Does Chris Russell need some help? Like, should we go in and check on him?
Chris. All right, listen. Chris, if you're listening to the podcast right now, get some help, buddy. All right? It's okay.
Yeah, but also at the same time, if you wanted to like still keep on blocking shots, that's cool with me.
Yeah, exactly. all right, then on to the Jets again. The Jets play the Avalanche and blew them up for a 7-4 win. This was a big game for the Jets since it was in a division, also playing a really hot team. And the Jets actually were up quite a bit in this. They ended up, I believe, the Avs brought it within 6-4, and then they scored the empty net.
That sounds great.
Because I believe that the Jets were up, I think, 6-1, and then they scored three in a row there to just make them a little nervous.
Yeah. If it was the Oilers out there, you'd be real concerned, but it was the Jets, yeah, so yeah. You're like,
Hellebuck did not look very good. Again, he is – the inconsistency with Hellebuck is definitely something I've seen on Jets Twitter now that I have to pay attention to that a little bit more, or also a little bit – also, Patrick Laine is nowhere to be found.
Has he been relegated to the fourth line yet?
No, I don't think not yet, but he is has not been looking good.
God, the curious case of Patrick Laine.
Yeah, and then with Ehlers out as well, that really hurts them as well. But
and your fantasy team.
And my fantasy team. I mean, to be honest, I'm doing pretty well right now.
Are you?
I'm killing it. I started off the year, I think I went 1-4, and I'm currently, after tomorrow, I'll be 10-5.
Wow, look at you go.
Yeah. It helps a lot that Mitch Marner and Phil Kessel, and I have McDavid on my team, so.
Yeah.
The way I like to play fantasy, this is a little quick fantasy note to all the fantasy hockey players out there. I like to pick players that get points off of each other. So on one goal, you get multiple like points and stuff like that. So like I have McDavid and Nuge, and they get a lot of their points together.
Especially power play.
Exactly. I also have Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl.
Oh, a little bit of a Sharks connection.
Exactly. They score a ton of points together. I have Phil Kessel and Jake Guentzel. So they're ripping it up. And then I have I like to find little pairs like that. The one thing that has been hurting me is Frederik Andersen has been hurt, and so I've been running with a starter and only goalie as Connor Hellebuyck.
Oh,
which has been a little up and down, but I mean the offense is carrying me a little bit, which it did with this Jets game to bring it back.
Absolutely. In that Jets game, I actually have MacKinnon and Landeskog for the other team. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was a fun night for me as well.
I bet.
Points all over the place.
Yeah. And then following up on, what day is that? I believe that would be Tuesday. Yep, Tuesday. The Oilers play San Jose and got just punked.
Yeah. I missed a lot of this game. I'm glad I missed a lot of this game. This game was an awful game.
It was a horrible game.
But
Lucic, I know where you're going with
Lucic
this.
Lucic scored.
Lucic scored, boys. I don't know if I have I talked about the Lucic goal draft Oilers Nation is doing?
I was just about yeah.
Oh, wait, so one of the guys on the ON Nation radio podcast, if you want to purely Oilers podcast. It is much, much better than ours. Go
for
follow
the
guys.
Moment.
For the moment, yeah. Watch out, Oilers Nation.
We gunning for you.
Exactly. They one of the guys on their podcast, Coom, at Coom on Twitter, got it. So so here's my question to you, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
At Coom is currently leading the Lucic Gold Draft to Oilers Nation with one goal. Will he win with that one goal?
You know what? I think this is going to be a little bit of a renaissance for Lucic's game. I've actually really kind of liked his game over the last little bit. Seems like he's developing a kind of a little bit of a chemistry with Nuge and Puljujarvi. So I'm going to go with no. I think he's going to actually put in a couple here in the next couple games.
All right. So how many do you think he's going to finish the year with it? At this moment, he is two.
I'm going to say he goes on a tear, finishes the year with 20 goals.
No freaking way.
Yeah. Book it.
That is a hot take. You heard it here first. Lucic, yeah. 20 goals in the season.
He's switching back to the old wood stick, you know? He's turning back into old prime Lucic. And he's gonna be running people into the bench, gonna be running the puck into the net.
You think Lucic, who went 72 games between scoring goals and then another like 42 between scoring another goal, is gonna score 18 goals in like, well, how many games are left? Like 41.
I think it's less than that, like 37 now or something.
37,
like that.
Even worse.
Well, all I'm gonna say is he's due.
All right, he's due. So yeah, 7-2 loss, throw it out. What a horrible game.
Yeah. Fire Trilly.
Yes. All right. Then the, Wild beat the Jets, 3-2. This was a classic case of the Jets were, kind of in control, but the Wild play very, very, very boring hockey. And actually Chris, was very hot on Twitter. I believe one of his tweets at one point where it was like, I feel bad for anyone who watches this garbage hockey team called the Wild.
And that sounds like Chris. Yeah.
Exactly. So
wait, I just thought of something.
Yes.
If Chris isn't here the entire episode. Does that just count as continuous disconnects?
No, I would say, it doesn't. So this is a, we've talked about Puljujarvi once, so, but this will be an almost, sober episode.
All right. Well, maybe we should add another drinking rule then.
Okay. So, you got one?
Yeah. I think whenever we talk about Chris or reference Chris, then the people have to take a shot.
Oh God. Okay. So when this podcast finally takes off and people, you know, we have millions of fans or thousands of fans and they go back and listen, I'm really looking forward to all the videos of people sending us of them just getting absolutely plastered.
For that future time, this is the lawyer in me talking that I totally have, I swear. You know, any opinions of the people on the podcast are their own and not of the podcast. So you can sue me for your alcoholism, but you can't sue the podcast.
We also are not endorsing underage drinking.
No, of course. I forgot. You guys are childs in the U.S.
Yep. All right. Then, this was the Wild versus Jets. Pretty classic case of Jets were kind of all over them. Dubnyk was holding the fort. They were playing structured hockey. And then, boom, quick transition. Wild win 3-2.
Just like that, eh?
Just like that. Wild are one of those teams that I probably have watched, because I the way I start my day is while I'm getting ready, I watch all the highlights from all the games from the night before.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of hockey to start your day.
Exactly. Nice to see other teams doing well and that sort of stuff. I probably have watched a ton of the Wild highlights, and I remember none of them.
Sometimes Dubnyk makes a sick save, and that's about it.
All right, real quick about Dubnyk. Did you see the save that he caught with the back of his pad strap?
Yo, no kidding. That was insane.
The shot goes clean through him, and it goes by his skate and catches the strap that holds that goes underneath the skate, right between the skate blade and the boot, up to hold the pad in place, and the puck snags on it and comes back to him.
Honestly, like, if you're, like, let's say you're playing a game. You take that shot. Like, it's a 2-2 game. You take that shot. and he saves it with the strap of his pad. Like, you know, at that moment, like, God's against you. Hockey gods are against you. Everyone's against you at that point.
That's just Dubnyk went in and upped his luck stat to 100.
The man's a living cheat code, and he does that. What a jerk.
Exactly.
Why didn't you do that for the Oilers?
All right. Well, listen, we also had no defense.
Yeah, like, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of Dubnyk's success in Minnesota is really due to Dubnyk being any good, or if it's more due to the fact...
I also think he is definitely better.
Yeah, probably. He probably is. A little bit of both.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to the aforementioned Oilers versus Panthers game. First off, it, like you said, Dalton, I mean, it was looking pretty rough there at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a little spooky.
Another game of two of our four lines looking like absolute shit, and McDavid and Nuge and Draisaitl just dragging the absolute corpse of a team into like a decent shot of winning the game.
So pretty much every game they win?
Basically. I mean, so first off, Draisaitl looked great this game. Mm-hmm. The game should have been tied up because the Oilers tie the game with 8 seconds left
from insane.
A Draisaitl McDavid goal. But Draisaitl should have tied that game up like 4 seconds earlier. He gets absolutely robbed by Reimer on a one timer, picks it up in the corner, centers it, McDavid scores. Overtime, we were all over them. Should have won. Goes to a shootout. And Nuge, just sneaky little baby Nuge, comes in, rips one of his patented little quick little wristers, mm-hmm. and it like catches the blocker, and it has such a top spin on it that it catches Reimer's left pad and goes in the net.
Yeah, because Reimer's his right hand pad is where his blocker is, and Nuge loves going low blocker side. It's like his little MO pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, this puck, like, it bounces from one pad to the other pad to the back of the net.
Yep. Then
insane.
It was wild. Then Huberdeau comes down, Talbot stops him. Honestly, seeing just the Panthers lineup of shootout, like people taking shootouts, I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be bad. They got Barkov, they got Huberdeau, they got Dadonov, all these real nice hands. Looking at Talbot, I'm like, oh, Talbot must be shitting himself right now.
Well, like, you've seen the Barkov highlight videos, right? Like,
the eight minutes of Barkov just making goalies look dumb.
Does he have the best hands in the league right now? Like, it's either him or Kane, basically, in my mind.
And, I mean, Kane's decent, but no, I don't think it's Kane anymore.
Maybe, yeah, I think I probably do have to give it to Barkov as the best hands in the league. That man is just insane.
What about Connor?
Connor McDavid?
Yeah, of course.
Well, McDavid kind of... I feel like there's kind of two schools of thought to dangling people. There's the Patrick Kane style, the Matt Barzell style of actually making the defender look like a silly man. Mm-hmm. But then there's the more McDavid style, which I feel is a lot more chaotic, where you're basically just kind of willing the puck through the enemy player, and you have so much speed behind you, and that puck has so much velocity that most of the time you're going to get lucky with a bounce or something like that, and it's going to be by the defender anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I think McDavid kind of dangles, which is a little bit different.
So you're giving Barkov the crown in there, best hands in the show, huh?
Yeah. Like, I think if McDavid, like, didn't skate so fast, he'd have beautiful hands. But at the speed he's going, it's impossible.
You kind of see it. He definitely shows off his hands a little bit in shootouts.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. McDavid has great hands, but I don't think he quite has the best hand in the league territory.
All right. Fair enough. So Huberdeau comes down, gets stopped by Talbot. Talbot looked hyped on that save. then McDavid comes down, and he knows Reimer has a family, right? Like, Reimer has to go home and, like, see his wife and kids. Oh. And, like, McDavid just violates him. Like, he comes down, and McDavid does that little thing where he pulls it, like, all the way back, and then just skates in and looks at him, and he's like, he's just like, what am I going to do? And then it's upstairs. And the thing is, Reimer has his glove up, and McDavid puts it so perfect that Reimer is still sitting there with his glove up, just kind of looks at his glove and just shakes his head.
Yeah. The thing is, with McDavid's little positioning on his shot there, it's actually, like, genius what he's doing. Because he's basically, he's bringing the puck so slowly into the net that, or into the high slot, that he can see everything that's going on in front of him. He has so much time to make a move.
He can go, because, right, he's left-handed. So he can go upstairs like he went.
Yeah.
If the goalie's covering upstairs, he can do a little backhand, forehand shimmy that he likes to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right where he pulls it to the backhand and then stops real hard and forehands it. Or he can do the thing like he did against the Flames, I think, last year in the shootout, where he comes in and then just real quick to the backhand around him.
Yeah, and he could also go back the other way like he did versus, I think, Vegas.
Yeah,
he did it where he waited up and then went back to the way. So he has so many options there. So all he has got to do is he just waits for the goalie to make his first little move, and then he just beats him every time.
Well, he just looks at the position of the goalie, and, like, if the goalie's covering high, he makes his move down low, and then, like, Reimer just stood there. McDavid's like, and
yeah, if the goalie's challenging out, he can force him back with a nice little deke that he loves to do, and it's just, it's such a good way to do a shootout.
Yeah, it is. Then Barkov hits the post, and we win the game.
Just like that.
Which was pretty awesome. All right, and then the Jets also last night played the Wings, beat the Wings 4-2.
It's a good thing they actually won, because the Wings are very bad.
The Wings are very bad. Brassois was in net for this one. Mm-hmm. Got another win. Brassois' stats are still unreal.
Is this man going to get paid after the season's over? Like, I just don't know if he is or not.
Becomes the starter somewhere and looks great.
Well, that's kind of feels like a little bit of a Cam Talbot behind Henrik Lundqvist situation.
Right? Yeah.
The backups, obviously, he's good enough to probably be a starter somewhere, but is a team going to take the, you know, is it going to take the gamble on a Brassois who last season for the Oilers looked
right?
Awful.
Are they going to, well, see, the problem is there's two routes of that happening, right? Mm-hmm. There's the, like Cam Talbot hasn't looked very good, like, this season or last season, but, like, he's still, like, I feel like too good to be a backup.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then there's the Cam Talbot option where, like, it paid off pretty well. Like, I'm not, like, I obviously said, like, Talbot's played me better, but hey, I'm not disappointed with him
being and one around. One year of Talbot being that good was probably worth what they gave up as well. Because he was, like, above and beyond what people thought.
Exactly. Or you go the Scott Darling route.
Yeah. Where you just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When you lose your job to 35-year-old Curtis McElhinney.
Yeah. Or even, like, you could say the Corey Schneider route.
Yes.
But that's more of an example of a guy who, like, pretty much I think everybody expected him to be vying for the Vezina trophy in year in, year out kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then just hasn't been that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Jets look good. It was obviously against a bad team. Jets win. I'm not doing them enough justice, but that is that. Also, quick shout out to Chris for winning last week. He won it with three. He got three out of the seven.
Oh, wow. You were bad last week.
I got two. Dalt, you got one.
Oh!
So that brings the score for everyone keeping track at home. The score now overall is Dalton 3, Chris 3, and myself 1.
Well, all I'm saying, Michael, is you got a pretty good shot this week.
It's just me and you. Sorry, head-to-head battle right here.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you want me to make some, like, pretty out there predictions so that you maybe
No. I don't need your pity point.
Well, you know, I just feel kind of bad for you because it's like it's
all
like
right. You know, you know what, buddy? You come here, all right?
all right, fine. I'll blow you out of the water.
Bring it on. All right. So moving on to league news. Let's see here. What do we want to do to start? All right. Here we go. Quick thing, Rick Nash announced his retirement.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit of a sad day for him, actually. Like, you never really want to see someone forced out of the league due to injury, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a case for him. Great goal scorer, one-time Rocket Richard winner.
Former captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets and proud owner of probably one of the dirtiest goals in NHL history.
Oh my God! Like the double T-drag with 8 seconds left goal.
The one that if you do have not seen it, go on YouTube, look up Rick Nash highlight reel goal versus the Coyotes. It will be terrible quality because it was the early 2000s. But basically, Rick Nash comes in. I think there's 27 seconds left on the clock. It's 3-3 with Columbus versus the Coyotes. This is when they are the Phoenix Coyotes. Mm-hmm. And he toe drags the first defender, then does the exact same move, toe drags the second defender, and then backhand, forehand, puck lands on his stick, pots it in an empty net. They win the game 4-3, and it was unreal.
Probably the best goal. One of the best goals of all time. Maybe the best solo effort goal of all time.
I wouldn't go that far.
You don't think so?
No. Because there's one that definitely beats it, and it's called McDavid versus Columbus.
The first game back one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby, what a goal that was.
Sad day. Rick Nash out of the league. Hell of a player. Hell of a career.
Couldn't get that Stanley Cup, sadly, but...
No. He did come close, though. I believe he was with the Rangers when they lost to LA in the finals.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually, because he played for the Rangers from, I think, 2010 to, like, 2017 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so what tier of player? All right, so Rick Nash's career is over. You look back on it. What tier of player do you put Rick Nash in?
Well, he's not Hall of Fame material.
You don't think?
No, he only led the league in scoring or goal scoring once. Never really was a point a game player. He was a great goal scorer, but especially his time in Columbus, I think, is a lot of black marks against him. Fair or not, Columbus was a terrible team the entire time he was there.
Yes, also true. I would have loved to see prime Rick Nash on the Blue Jackets now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That'd be insane. I don't think he's making the Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't think he's even going to be close kind of thing.
Okay.
But, like, I kind of feel like his career is what Nuge's career is going to end up being. Like, just on the very end of it, like, their personal accolades, all that kind of stuff. Like, consistent 60-point player in the NHL. But
Nuge is going to finish with a Stanley Cup.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But, but you know, not really what you want out of a first overall pick kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, great player.
Yeah, at the same time, he was a solid first liner his entire career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when he went to Boston on his last year, he was still playing top six.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, Rick the Dick Nash.
Yeah. Yep, so hats off to Rick Nash. Moving on, we'll do something that's a little older. Finland wins the gold medal in the World Junior Championships.
Yeah, I don't think we really talked about the World Juniors at all, so...
We really didn't. This was the first time Canada has not medaled while hosting the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Which was garbage, by the way, but I don't know if we should really get into that, because I could talk about
that. We can totally go there. Yeah, of course. All right. So rewind the clock a little bit. We'll get the Finland winning gold, because that is incredible, and they deserve total props for that. I believe that's the second time they've done it in the last 2 years now.
I don't think they won it last year. I think it was the year before they won it, because the year was the year with Laine, Rantanen, Aho, Puljujärvi.
That's two golds in 3 years for Finland.
Yeah, very, very, very impressive showing for a country of 5.5 million people.
Yes, exactly. Insane. But before we get to that, they had to play Canada in the first game of the quarterfinals. And that was a unreal hockey game.
That was it. Probably, I don't know if it was the one of the very best World Junior game I've ever saw, because obviously it wasn't Eberle winning the gold medal for Canada big.
Yeah,
but it was definitely up there.
I'd like to just say I love the World Juniors. The World Juniors is some of the best hockey you can watch, because it's a bunch of kids that are like super hyped to be there. Like they're not worried about money or contract length. They are there to just play hockey and try and win. And they're fast They're skilled. The structure, the defense isn't great. The goaltending is iffy sometimes. Yeah. And it is just such fun hockey.
Yeah. Super fast-paced, offensive.
Yes.
You can and you can also tell, like, coaches haven't had very many much time with these kids because, yeah, like you're saying, the defensive structures sometimes are non-existent.
Yeah.
Sometimes breakouts are awful. So, but it leads to a lot of really fun turnovers and really fast-paced up-and-down hockey the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a lot of fun. So Canada plays Finland in the quarterfinals. Canada goes up 1-0. The Finns tie it up late to send it to overtime.
Off a terrible bounce.
Yes.
Or an amazing bounce, depending on your team.
Yeah. In overtime, the captain, Maxime Comtois, who actually scored his first NHL goal this season with the Ducks, has a penalty shot.
Well, you better not forget how he got that penalty shot, though.
I actually don't remember how he got the penalty shot.
All right, Evan Bouchard steals the puck in his own zone, goes down, and then gets hooked just before he's going to unleash the totally was going in goal. I don't know if it was going in or not, but I choose to believe it was.
So Bouchard obviously went to make a deke there, and I would have loved to see the 40-year-old's hands on that play.
But he still got it.
I would have also died if he had the breakaway and it, like, if he had a little bit more time, like, hits the hash marks and then just winds up.
Oh, man. I used to play with a kid, and, like, my team, we were in the finals of some tournament, I think, and how their finals went is it was just a straight shootout. So we went through 15 players on our team before this kid comes up. So he's the 15th selection from our team.
So he's like bottom pairing defenseman, some plug.
Oh, you better believe it. Defensive defenseman, great guy, like one of my favorite guys on the team, because he's...
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, definitely like a bone-crushing defenseman. This kid walks into the freaking hash marks and just unloads a bomb, hits the goalie directly in the center of the mask.
Oh my God. Did you guys win?
Oh, here you go. Well, our goalie made a great save on the other end. Then we have our guy who always played with them, also a defensive defenseman, goes in and then just dangles the shit out of the goalie. Unreal hands, little forehand, backhand, tucks it. Big win.
Awesome. Not a big deal.
No, it was huge, dude. Oh, my God.
So old man Bouch comes in, gets hooked down, and then the new rules of the international rules are if you are awarded the penalty shot, anyone on the team can take the penalty shot. They go with the captain, Maxime Comtois, gets stopped.
A little bit of a questionable decision.
Yeah, I might have given it. To be honest, I would have given it to Lafreniere.
That actually would have been my pick as well, yeah. Lafreniere, really? Yeah, definitely. That kid is unreal.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing him in a year.
No kidding. Yeah, either Lafreniere or there was that, I forget his name already, that one kid that was kind of unknown coming in but scored a bunch of goals.
Frost?
Yeah, Frost. Morgan Frost.
Nick Frost. Morgan Frost, yeah.
Yeah.
Or even Suzuki?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I think he's a Canadiens draft pick, I want to say.
No. He was picked by the Golden Knights and then traded in the Tatar trade.
Right, that's what it was. The Tatar Pacioretty.
Yes. He was sent to Montreal.
That kid's looking sick. Holy.
Yeah, he is definitely looking good. So stopped on the penalty shot in overtime. Then come down, beautiful play, pass across, one timer like from the knee. Like everyone is out of their seats, ready for the goal to go in, and the twig shatters.
Heartbreaking. Quick and that pass, too. Holy, but, like, we got to go to that pass. Yes. That kid, he never even looked at the guy he was passing to. He was looking shot the entire time, then just threads it across. Beautiful. Yeah.
The no-look pass across to the one-timer. Stick shatters. Quick turnaround. And then just kind of a greasy, like, 3-on-2, throw the puck at the net. And then one of the guys that could possibly go first overall in the upcoming draft in 2019, Kako, bangs it in. Finland beats Canada.
This is a very, very disappointing way to end the game. DiPietro was huge for Canada.
DiPietro was great, yep.
Yeah, definitely player of the tournament for Canada for me. But, like, don't hate me. I kind of feel like Finland deserved to win that game.
I don't know. I feel like Canada had so many off. Like, the stick breaking. Come on.
Oh, it's just – but I'm saying if there was a different goalie in net other than DiPietro, Canada lose that game in regulation by, like, a score of, like, 5-1. DiPietro was so huge for Canada.
Yeah, he did look really good.
Yeah, so
Then Finland rolls through. Did they beat the States?
Switzerland, I think, in the quarter or the semis.
Yeah, shout out to Switzerland for making the semis.
Yeah, they beat Sweden to do it. Holy.
Yeah, that was a great game. I also love Switzerland's head coach. Did we talk about this?
We talked about the head coach, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to re-go over what he said, but I still one of my favorite videos.
Registered beautician.
Oh, yes. So then they beat Switzerland, and then who do they play for gold? I think it was
the States, yeah.
Yeah, so then they beat the USA pretty handily, to be honest, just, like, not really, like, having much of an issue. I think the final score was 4-2.
3-2, actually. And it was 3-2. Yeah, it was – I think it was one of those games where score was a lot closer than the game was.
Yeah, even like, though, Finland definitely had control of that game for most of it.
Even though it took Kakko, once again, scoring with a minute 20 left, I think, to put them ahead 3-2.
Yep. And off so of, Finland wins gold, United States gets silver, and Russia, I believe, gets bronze. Yep.
Yeah, smashed Switzerland for the bronze.
Yeah, they were pissed.
Yeah, holy.
So yeah, I mean, congrats to Finland. They are pumping out good hockey teams right now.
Yeah, and we get to see Germany next year.
Yes. Who got relegated?
I'll give you one guess.
Oh wait, it's Denmark.
Absolutely. For those of you who don't know, Canada beat Denmark 14-0 to start off the tournament,
which was also very fun.
Yeah.
Another reason to watch the tournament is because you get to watch, like, the juggernauts of the hockey world go against teams like Denmark and Kazakhstan and Belarus.
And then sometimes those teams win, and then you feel very upset.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have anything else to say about the juniors?
Overall, a pretty fun tournament this year. I was a little disappointed in Canada's head coach selection of Tim Hunter. He, I think, made a lot of very bad mistakes, including benching Lafreniere for most of the quarterfinal game. So I would like, an actual head coach that's wasn't just somebody who repeatedly got hit in the face over and over again in the NHL next year. But anyways, it's fine.
Yeah.
And also, he played for the Flames, too, so that's, like, double whammy.
Very true. All right, moving on. Then, here, all I have written down here is Subban, good guy.
Yeah. So, for those of you that don't know, Subban received a tweet from a parent of a black kid who was getting repeatedly, was being bullied, racist taunts from opposition teams, all that kind of really fun stuff. So Subban takes some time out of his day, records a very inspirational message to the kid, basically telling him that, keep your head down, keep grinding, ignore the haters. And straight up, it was a very nice video, very good thing of Subban to do, to take some time out of his day to help out this young kid.
Yeah, for sure. Especially some kid that's going through some stuff that's real unfortunate. Also, later in the week, Subban, then there was a video of Subban hugging his, I think, like, 3-year-old niece before he goes on the ice for a game.
Adorable.
Just all around good guy. Good guy, Subban.
Especially off the ice. On the ice, maybe a couple issues there. But
yeah. Oh, actually, on the bullying topic, that I want to bring right quickly back to two things about the World Juniors.
Oh.
First thing. A Finland stick company sent the guy whose stick broke on the would have been game winning goal, sent him a stick and said, "Hey, I heard Canadian sticks have been breaking on you, so here's one of ours."
Savage. I believe the player was Noah Dobson, I want to say.
Yep. Great troll job. A1. All right. Now onto the bullying topic. the amount of hate and anger and I just horrible, horrible things that have been commented on the captain of Canada, Comtois, Instagram, tweeted at him, just all sorts of stuff on social media has been horrible. Yeah. Just like to the point where his agency had to release a press statement saying he tried his hardest. Don't like you shouldn't cyberbully. He since he is equipped to take to like deal with this, he is taking the time to you know, like stand out against bullying and all that stuff, and and not address it. And this is the only thing that will be said about it. And if you're some 40-year-old guy that watched Canada play they lost to Finland. There were some mistakes made. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect tournament, but for the most part, play a great tournament.
Yeah, and these kids, they played their hearts out. It wasn't like there was a lack of trying out there. Or anything like
every
that.
Every year, when a kid, no matter what country, puts on the jersey of their country, they are going to be absolutely giving it everything they have. They would die to win these games.
Yeah. Comtois, he also played that entire tournament with a separated shoulder. That's just, like, the injuries that these kids are playing through and the heart that he showed the entire time.
Yes. Like,
he had a separated shoulder and he was throwing bone-crushing hits out there.
Himself played a great tournament. Canada played a great tournament. There is no need to take out your anger. It's first off, it is just a game. As much as we love it and we have a whole podcast centered around it, it is just a game. Second off, there's no need for that. You don't need to go on and tell him that he's a disgrace to his country. Because to be honest, if you're sitting there commenting on a 19-year-old who just played like one of the highest like levels of hockey and is probably going to be making millions of dollars for the rest of his life being a great hockey player.
Yeah.
And may end up playing for Canada again in the future. And you're sitting at home commenting like that he's a disgrace to Canada on his Instagram.
Yeah.
You might want to do a quick survey of your life.
Yeah. Look in the mirror a little bit.
Exactly.
All right. At the end of the day, it is just a game. Yeah, right?
It is just a game. Exactly. All right. So now that we have the unpleasantry out of the way, let's go on something that is good for us and unpleasant for some other people. The Ducks have a 10-game losing streak, and we need to talk about it.
Also very important about the Ducks, Ryan Kesler has 7 points in 43 games.
Kesler for Lucic, 1-for-1.
Honestly, would probably still do it.
Yes.
And that's how bad the Lucic contract is, but that's fine. We talked about that.
Yes. So first off, I'm going to pull up some quick stats. So I'm just going to look up Ducks losing. Oh, look at there. Second on Google. Thanks, Google. All right. Ducks losing streak. The Ducks are currently 1 point out of a playoff spot, despite the losing ton of runs.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrating. Last night, the Ducks were... No, go ahead.
No, okay. Well, I'm just going to say it's nice. This is like the only reason that I think the Oilers haven't really pulled the plug on this season is that the rest of the Pacific has been kind of garbage.
Well, I don't know. If you go to the actual standings, the top three are starting to pull away.
Are they? That's a little spooky.
Yeah. Oilers are sitting in fifth, 1 point behind the Ducks with a game in hand at 45 points. The Ducks have 46. And then the top three are the Flames with 62.
Dear God.
The Sharks with 59.
Yeah, they've been on a roll lately.
And Vegas with 58.
And they've also been on a roll lately, too. Little bit. Well, speaking of the Knights, you hear about the Brandon Peary saga?
What is Luckstat 200?
All right, so Vegas calls this guy up. He gets 9 points in 7 games. And then they send him down again.
And no. They were sending him down because they were activating Pacioretty off injury reserve, but he's back.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, that makes
sense. Yes. So it was a quick contract thing moving around. So he scored. I think it was 10 goals in 10 games with the Knights. Pacioretty was injured, which is why he got called up. Pacioretty came back. They sent him down. when they activated Patch Ready and then called him up and sent someone else down.
Ah, I see. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense then.
Yeah, yes. So first off, the Ducks lose 7-4 to the Penguins last night after being up, let's see, 1, 2, 3, up 3-0.
Wow. That's a collapse.
Shout out to my boy Kessel and Gensel. Gensel had a hat trick and Kessel had 3 points.
And I started Gibson in fantasy.
Oh boy. Well, first off, Gibson had an unreal save last night.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Oh, on Rust. Yeah. Then the Ducks lose 2-1 in overtime to the Senators.
Always a good thing when you lose to the Senators.
Yep. 4-0 shutout from the yours truly, the Oilers.
Ooh. Oh yeah, of course. Good game, good game.
Cue the air horns. then a 3-2 loss to the Golden Knights. Golden Knights outshoot them 42-27.
Yeah, that's Ducks hockey for you.
That's Randy Carlisle hockey.
Oh, that's a whole different. Apparently, the GM of the Anaheim Ducks, whose name escapes me at the moment. Can't remember. He hates firing coaches midseason. Hates it. So basically, there's been a lot of questions on whether or not the head coach is getting fired. He's shutting them all down. He's like, nah, man. Randy Carlisle, 10-game losing streak. He's my guy.
2-1 loss to the Lightning in overtime.
It's actually pretty respectable.
Then we have a 5-4 loss to the Coyotes in overtime. then we got a 4-2 loss to the Sharks. Oh, and now we're on the Christmas break. good stuff.
Well, this is going past the Christmas break. So
we got a 3-0 loss to the Sabres on the 22nd of December.
To be fair, the Sabres have been playing pretty well this season.
3-1 loss to the Bruins.
Oof.
there it is. 3-1 loss to the Rangers.
Oof, that one actually really does hurt. Rangers have been...
Shots in that game were 24-15 for the Rangers.
Wow.
Their last win was Monday, December 17th, 2018, a 4-2 win to the Penguins, against the Penguins.
Wow. Wow, that's never good when it's almost a full month since your last win.
Yeah, well, they have a couple games this week, so we'll see.
Hey, Michael, tell me if you've ever heard this one before. The Ducks haven't won all year.
Oh, got him. Okay, so here's some quotes I got for you. The elephant in the room finally made its presence known, and Randy Carlisle couldn't handle the pressure.
Are they calling Carlisle fat?
The seat is becoming awfully hot for yet another defeat. Ducks coach was asked if he was worried anything could happen to you after as a result of this. Carlisle says, "What do you mean? What are you trying to say? What do you think? Don't ask the dumb questions." here's a Getzlav, who's probably in my top five of most hated players.
He's up
terrible. There. It's awful. He had a goal. He had one. He had an assist. Not being able to finish a game, we start 3-0. We have to work. I've done 12 of these interviews in the last 3 weeks. Message is the same.
Oh. So.
This
all kind of begs the question: what's the problem with the Ducks?
Okay. So first off, I think the first thing I point out was their shot differential
getting pummeled.
Which is very Randy Carlisle hockey. If you look at when he coached the Leafs, it was very much, we are not going to play structured hockey and we are going to hope that, and actually Randy Carlisle has been very lucky because when he coached the Leafs, James Reimer stood on his absolute head night in and night out. They have one of the best goalies in the league in John Gibson, who's doing the same. I mean, if you look at the stats, the reason they're still a point above the Oilers, is okay, so they've lost 10 in a row, but I think maybe 4 of those 10 they got a point.
Yeah.
John Gibson is dragging the Ducks to staying within, like, the fight.
Well, yeah, there's a reason he's second in Vezina voting right now on a team that's just been awful.
Yeah, yeah. I also believe that they've had a lot of injuries, like, their defense. I don't think Cam Fowler's been playing, like, at all.
I think he just got back on the Oilers game.
Right, but so they've missed almost half of the season with him.
Yeah.
Without arguably their best defenseman.
I don't even know if you can argue. He's a very good defenseman.
So, and then their forwards are like, all right, you got Getzlaf, who's like, he's a good hockey player, but I wouldn't say like he's not going to, he'll put up like 60, 70 points.
Maybe Getzlaf 5 years ago could drag you there, but. Now.
Corey Perry's out.
He's
done. As you pointed out, Kessler has 7 points this year.
Yeah. When Aberg is your highest scoring forward, you got an issue.
All right, though, to be fair, Pontus Aberg looks ridiculous at the beginning of the season.
No kidding. He is – where was this in the Oilers, Aberg, you jerk?
Well, I wouldn't exactly blame Aberg. He's only playing 5 minutes a night under McClellan.
Yeah, that was also a whole other issue. So do you think the issue with the Ducks is in their coaching? So, like, if they switched it out, are they all of a sudden a playoff team?
I'm going to say yes and no.
Of course, the very definitive answer.
Yes. I'm going to say yes and no. And here's my reasoning why. The Ducks play, as I've said, very open, very loose. They don't have very good structure. They're hoping John Gibson is going to bail them out every time.
Right.
And having John Gibson back there already, as you can see from how, like, still not out of it they are, is a huge upside. So John Gibson back there, and then you throw in a coach that has just, like, a little bit of defensive structure in this game. And I wouldn't say, like, contenders, but I definitely think they're a little bit farther ahead than they are now. Right, like if you throw Hitchcock in there, and we've seen him kind of definitely turn the Oilers into more of a structured hockey team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels a lot more like they have a chance to win every night under Hitchcock. That's
right,
for sure.
Exactly. You do that, the Ducks play a little bit tighter in front of Gibson. Gibson's able to still bail them out when they let in a lot of shots. I think the only thing is maybe offense. I mean,
yeah, because they have like
Ricard Raquel also has been hit with injuries in the season.
Mm-hmm. I think he led the Ducks in goals last year with 30 something.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big chunk of offense right there.
Yeah.
So I mean, everyone healthy and with a little bit more structure, maybe. But I also feel like they're just getting old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when your core of Getzlaf, Perry, and Kessler, all of them are above the age, I think, 33?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And then, like, even their really nice, like, complimentary pieces that did a lot of damage for them a couple years ago, like Cogliano.
Yeah, he's doing
and,
up there.
And Jakob Silverberg.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Cam Fowler isn't that young.
Exactly. So, like, they just really don't have a lot of talent coming up, like, through the draft or whatever, and then their core, and honestly, if they're not careful, they'll end up in the the LA Kings plateau.
Ooh, the middle of the league purgatory?
No, like, bottom of the league, like, LA Kings right now.
Oh, so you mean, like, they're actually going to be bad?
Right, because they're going to... Right, if the GM's not careful, he's going to hold on to all his old players and be like, oh, Getzlaf still's got it,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's just going to be Jonathan Quick or John Gibson that now, with the Ducks back there, just being like, someone help me, please.
That's kind of an interesting thought experiment, though. Like, do you trade Ryan Getzlaf? A guy
For Lucic, one for one.
Well, you know, a guy that's been in your system, you're basically franchise centerman his entire career.
Your captain.
Yeah, exactly. Is that so? Do you want to trade that away? Do you want to get rid of him, or do you want to go more the Henrik Zetterberg and Detroit routes?
I think with Getzlaf, you go more of the Daniel and Henrik Sedin route.
Mm. So you let them play until they don't want to play anymore?
Yeah, I think you keep Getzlaf. You don't trade him. It just, like, that's just such a shot in the heart to, like, a fan base.
Yeah, actually.
And, like, an organization. You don't trade him. Yeah. You keep Getzlaf. You move out guys like Perry, and you move out guys like Kessler and Cogliano. You start moving those guys out. Bring up, start finding and drafting like a new core, and then let Getzlaf play that third line like the Sedins did while they tutor Brock Besser and that sort of stuff.
Right. Turn him more into kind of a power play specialist kind of guy. A little bit less minutes on the body, but still an effective player.
Exactly.
All right. The only caveat, I think, and that would be maybe, like, you know, obviously I'm guessing the GM's already talked to Getzlaf about this. Like, do you want to go to a contending team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you also leave that up to him. If Getzlaf's like, I want to try and win a cup, then do everything you can to send Getzlaf somewhere where he has a chance.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, God. That would be the worst. But that would be such a thing to happen, though.
Oh, my God. Totally.
They pick up Getzlaf at the trade deadline, and then they walk into the playoffs with Malkin, Kessel, Getzlaf, Crosby, Letang.
I think Malkin and Getzlaf would actually be insane together.
That'd be such a... And then just throw Kessel in there, just for fun.
Yeah, I'm just like, whatever. Just go out there and snipe somebody.
All right, so now that we fixed the Ducks...
You're welcome.
Let's move on to just a quick thing. There's really not much to talk about it, but Ovi hitting Zdeno Chara into the bench. Yes, you heard that right. Ovi hit Zdeno Chara into the Washington Capitals bench. He flipped him.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, which should be pretty much everyone, Zdeno Chara is 6'9" and 240 pounds, I want to say.
The dude is a beast.
Yeah. Though, to be fair, Ovi's no slouch either. 6'3", 235. And built like a freaking truck. Oh my God.
Yeah, no. Listen, they're both big boys, but Chara is on another league.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Age 41, height 6'9", weight 256 pounds.
Oh, that was a little low. 256, though. Ooh.
256. All right, now let's go to Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin is 33, and that is telling me how much he's making. I want to know how big he is. Here we go. Age 33. He is 6'3", 236 pounds.
Oh, off by 1 pound. Come on.
Yeah, pretty good, buddy. Pretty good. So first off, Zdeno Chara is very lucky that he didn't like completely go. Well, actually, no. The players sitting in the Washington Capitals bench were very lucky that Zdeno Chara did not go fully into the bench.
Yeah, no kidding. They kind of caught him a little.
From an OV standpoint, it wasn't even that big of a hit. He kind of Chara missed him, and he lost the puck, and then he went back into Chara and kind of just dumped him. But it was hilarious to see, and even Chara hopped out of the bench and was smiling.
Yeah. You can see Chara's face in the bench. It's just like a look of shock on his face. He's like, what? Somebody
hit how me? Many times has that ever happened to Chara? Like, come on.
Like, how many times do people even hit Chara in a game? Like, I don't want to hit him.
Hell no.
Like, if I go to hit him, his elbow is about 6 inches above where my head would be. Like, this man's it's huge.
Did you just slowly push you into the ice?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember Cassian trying to go after him one game, and it's just like, Cassian, you're a monster, but you're no
listen. I love our little axe murderer, Zach Cassian, but that's not a fight you want to have, Cass.
No, that's a fight you save for in a dark alleyway
with four other guys.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like you better have like a knife or at least a gun or something, right, to take on Chara. He's a monster.
He's an absolute unit. All right, so then you said something about Bergeron not wanting to go to the All-Star game?
Yeah. He actually asked fans not to vote for him because he wanted to instead spend time with his newly born child.
Is he going, though?
He was not voted in, so he is not going. The fans listened to him and voted for some other dude instead. I already forgot.
Is it Pastrnak or Marchand?
It'd be a crime if Marchand wasn't going to the All-Star game.
No, screw Brad Marchand.
He's a dick, but man, I love him a little bit. Just a little bit. He's like, the kind of love I have for Brad Marchand is like, it's like, it's kind of hard to put. It's like, I feel like this reference is going to go like to nobody, but anyways, it's like that one goat you have in the goat block. That's a huge dick.
Yes. All right. Goat farmer, let's hear what you got.
He's a huge dick the entire time. You know, you turn around and he butts you right in the butt. And you turn and you don't kick him because no animal abuse allowed. But you really want to. He's that goat. But at the same time, he also...
It is Pasternak, by the way.
Okay. He also comes up to you and is nice to you sometimes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All goats are dicks. Just letting you know. Every single one. Anyways, this has been Dalton's Goat Podcast.
So, I mean, good for him. Good for him to go and, you know, spend time with his family. I can appreciate him for that. And then last thing in, so the NHL sent out the roster for the All-Star game. And then they basically said, hey, here's a list of other people that didn't make it. Vote for the last men in. Mm-hmm. So one person from each division as kind of like a last vote.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories abound about this, by the way, already.
Oh, really?
Well, they didn't actually release, at least, when I looked at it, what the vote counts were for any of the players. They just said who was going. So,
okay.
It's a little skeptical. But anyways, Draisaitl is going now.
Yep, it is. Let me see. It is. Oh, geez. Where is it? Oh. The internet is sometimes frustrating.
It is
Leon Draisaitl, which huge props to Big Sexy.
Definitely earns it, believes it, needs it.
Eric Carlson, send Draisaitl McDavid stretch passes in the 3-on-3.
Oh, my God. Like, I want to see... I almost want to go three forwards out there. Just go throw Goudreau with Draisaitl and McDavid.
Oh, man.
It'd be unholy, and every Oilers and Flames fan would love it and hate it at the same time.
Yep. I hate Goudreau, but man, that would be such a scary line.
God, like, any of those three guys gets the puck, guess what? You're never seeing it again. It's their puck now.
Yep. All right, here we go. Here's the full list. From the Atlantic Division, Jeff Skinner. Deserved.
Definitely.
He's having a heater of a season.
Yo, he's going to get paid this season. Last year of his contract? Oh, boy.
Yep. Next up, Gabe Landeskog.
Also definitely
the entire line, then that entire Colorado's entire first line of McKinnon and Rantanen will all be there.
You think they're just going to put just them out there for the 3-on-3?
Why wouldn't you?
No kidding. Holy.
All right, so here's my question. Out of the three of them, who plays defense?
Trick question. You don't play defense in overtime. You just have the puck entire time.
Good point. All right, from the Metro, I disagree entirely with this one, but it's Chris Letang.
Apparently he's having a good season. I don't watch a lot of Penguins games. It feels like kind of almost like you used to be a really, really good defenseman, so we're throwing you a little bit of a bone.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just he's going to be fine out there, right? Like, it's not going to look out of place or anything. It's not like the John Scott situation. But
there were totally people that should have gone before him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then Leon Draisaitl from the Pacific.
Absolutely, no question. Has to be Leon Draisaitl. Get out of here, Flames fans, with your Giordano garbage.
Yeah, right?
Though, also, like, it's kind of a crime that Giordano didn't go. And neither did Morgan Riley as well. Those both are, like, kind of, like, big question marks.
Yeah. All right, so that is all the news I have, unless you got anything else?
Nothing I can think about, but I'm sure we'll find a random tangent to go on later.
Probably. So now we will do everyone's favorite part of the podcast, where we get to pick the score for upcoming games.
Oh, man.
So quick reminder, this week it will only be me and Dalton in the predictions, so I have a chance of kind of catching up.
Mm-hmm. I could put on a funny voice and pretend to be Chris, but nobody wants to see that, or I guess hear that rather. So
I'm sure Chris would be appreciated if you didn't.
I'm Chris, and I think the Jets are going to win every game. Is that a good one?
No, I would do more like this one. Hi, I'm Chris, and I hear you're a fan of this podcast, but a fan of a team other than the Oilers and the Jets. Screw you!
Oh, that is top tier.
Man, I think so. I think that was pretty good.
Like, you stop being him, like, at that point, that feels like a disconnect. That feels like a shot to me. Because he was generally, he was in this podcast for a second.
He was there. He was there. Well, Chris has been here in spirit. So starting off, the Oilers actually have their first game this week. They play tonight. They play the Arizona Coyotes. Dalton, I'll let you start, buddy.
Oh, you're so kind. I know. I think the Oilers are going to smoke them 6-1. And I need that win, 100%.
Mm-hmm. I also, like, I'm not going to go against the Oilers versus the Coyotes.
No.
I'm going to say it's going to be a 4-2 win.
Ooh, a little closer. But, a little closer.
But the fourth goal is going to be an empty netter.
So it's going to be a really close game.
Then the Jets have a chance to extend Anaheim's losing streak to 11 when they play them on Sunday.
All right. I think your turn to go first.
I believe that's how that would work.
All right.
I'm going to say, screw the Jets. 11-game losing streak, full steam ahead. 5-2 win.
5-2 win for the Jets?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You said screw the Jets, and then you said they won.
Did I say screw the Jets?
Maybe you said screw the Ducks. I don't know, dude. I know what you meant. It's all good.
Yeah, all right, perfect.
I am actually going to say Jets lose.
No.
2-0 shutout victory for Jonathan Gibson.
Okay, so my next question is, are you saying that only because you have Gibson?
That might be a slight influence. But because I think it'll rattle Chris a little bit.
All right. Then Buffalo plays Edmonton on Monday.
Ooh.
Yep.
I think this one is going to be a bit of a closer game. Except for I think it's still going to be high scoring at the same time. So I'm going to say a 4-3 Oilers victory.
Okay. 4-3 win. I'm going to say a 5-4 win.
Ooh.
Yeah. Have the Jets taking on Vegas on Tuesday. This is in Winnipeg. I'm going to say, I need the Jets to win this game too. Jets win 3-1.
All right. I'm going to say Vegas wins 3-1.
3-1 Vegas win. Wow. You're not liking the Jets this week, buddy.
No, I think the Jets, you know, they've shown a little bit of cracks in their armor, and they're really going to show this week.
All right. Then the Oilers play the last game of the week before the next podcast on Wednesday versus Vancouver, and the last two games against Vancouver have not been pretty.
No, Elias Pettersson has looked good, but I think he's still injured. Like, I'm pretty sure he is.
Thank you, Kotkaniemi.
Yeah. Out of all people.
That's because he wants a Calder.
Actually, probably. He can see it. He's like, only way I'm going to get this if I take out the competition.
Exactly.
All right.
What do you think, buddy? In Vancouver.
In Vancouver?
Yep.
4-0 Oilers shutout victory. Yes. Shutout goes to Tal Beast.
Tal shutout. I'm going to say So here's the thing. I hate saying the Oilers are going to lose.
Whoa.
So then I also, even though when I think they're going to lose, I'm like, all right, well, maybe we still get a point in the overtime. But then I hate saying they lose in overtime because the Oilers never lose in overtime.
Yeah. But then you can't really extend it to the shootout because they're dominant there now.
Right. So Oilers win 4-1.
Oh. What's that kind of garbage gamemanship?
Next up, last game for the podcast of the week for this week. Jets go to Nashville. So in Nashville, Winnipeg Jets. Nashville has not been looking good recently.
But they also have PK Subban.
Yeah, but see, like, I feel like the Jets and the Preds are kind of in similar positions at right now.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm going to say I have all wins. So I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm going to say 3-2 overtime loss for the Jets.
Yeah. I think right now, if the Jets and the Preds played a 7-game series, I think the Jets would win. But it's very close. But that being said, I'm going to say the Jets win 4-2.
4-2 win. All right, buddy.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. So we apologize for everyone for it just being me and Dalton. Chris will hopefully be back next week to help, as he liked to say, ground the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Make it less Oilers-centric.
Exactly. So we apologize for any of those tangents. But to be honest, I feel like we did pretty good today.
Yeah, you know, we didn't just talk about McDavid. We talked about Nuge a little bit and about
Dry. Exactly. We're sitting at almost 70 minutes right now for recording. So, I mean, we filled it pretty well.
Ooh, look at us go.
Yeah, right. So that is episode 12 of South of the Blue Line. We will see everyone next week. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. You can follow us on SoundCloud at South of the Blue Line Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, anywhere you listen to your podcast, Spotify. We are there, South of the Blue Line Podcast. Give us a listen, subscribe, write a review. Mm-hmm. Any sort of interaction you have with us does better, because the more times you interact with it and the podcast and send us tweets and reviews, the more times other people will see it and the more listeners we can get on board to this train wreck that we have running right now. Mm-hmm. So we
the
thank
shot
everyone.
Filled episode. Wait, exactly. Michael, I got one more tangent for you.
Okay.
All right. I got a fun little game.
Okay.
Who, or not really a game. I think it'll be a good segment. Anyways, who is your favorite player ever to wear number 12?
Number 12?
Mm-hmm. For the 12th podcast or episode.
I don't think I know anyone that wore number 12.
Not even one player?
All right, now this sounds like a loaded question. I'm thinking, Dalton, who's your favorite player to wear number 12?
Well, it's almost a loaded question against me, because I'm picking Jerome Iginla.
Ooh, okay.
The Edmonton native turned Calgary captain.
Yeah, but man, that pass to Crosby against the States in the gold medal game?
Oh, instant. Just 100% in the hearts of every Canadian.
So yeah, that is such a good one.
Was that you frantically Googling who wore number 12?
No. Definitely not. But if I had to choose, definitely Patrick Marleau.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, I did Google 12 players who were number 12.
Yeah, even if he is playing for the Leafs now.
Wait. Yeah, all right, yeah. So real quick, actually. Number one, Dickie Moore. Number two, Yavin Kornior. People are going to kill me for that one. Adam Oates, Jerome Iginla, Peter Bondra, Tim Kerr, Eric Staal, Patty Marleau, Jimmy Carson, and Tom Lysick.
Oh, Jimmy Carson, the man infamously traded for Wayne Gretzky.
Yep. So that is all your number 12s. We got to wrap this up because we have a long one today, buddy.
Absolutely.
So that is it from us. Chris is off having fun. I am over in Orlando. And Dalton, you are in
Calgary.
Calgary. All right, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
See you later, guys.
See you, buddy.
Bye.